Peace and blessings, peace and blessings. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show. Rough day, rough day. We're going to put my uncle down, and man, I'm off a little bit. Had a little, you know, it's a lot. So I'm trying to get the show on. I'm late. Talking to my wife and getting these suits together and reading the obituary, crying, and, you know, I'm crying joy, though, so that's what it is. But, yeah, let me find this screen. Good morning, though. Good morning, wherever you are in America. Good morning to you. May God continue to bless you, to bless others, and know that you are needed any and everywhere. You might not think it, but you are. I don't know what's going on, you guys. I can't get on maybe because I'm late, and they're going to punish me. Yeah. Yeah, they're going to punish me. But it's not showing up. All right. Man, I was going through it, man. I got a testimony for you. I'm going to tell you today. I'm going to get through this day, but I'm going to open up the phone lines right quick. The screen is up. And I want to say good morning to Marvelous Marvell, also Double R in the Car, and the Disciple Mark Stevens. Good morning, brothers.
Good morning, man.
Good morning, brother. Grand Rising.
And so watch this. Watch this. Now, that just show y'all how patient our brothers is. I just need y'all to know this is a real show to listen to. Marvell, I have a lot going on, brother, from last night from the Healing Circle. You know, it carried on a little bit, and wow. It gets deep when you get to talking about situations that are lingering. I heard that last night, past trauma. And so I'm going to pass this mic. I don't have anything today to really talk about. So if y'all can come up with a topic, I'd appreciate that. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show, and I'm going to sign off this thing for a moment. Peace and blessings.
All right, yes. Well, good morning once again to our faithful contributors and our listening audience. We are here despite the overcast of sorrow for our brother Tim and his experience with someone as a favorite in his life. And I think it's kind of like it lends to me the idea or at least the subject matter of when we lose someone that is very close to us, it's sort of like, I feel like the person that I lost wasn't that close to me, so the loss is not that great to me. Well, I don't carry it around, and it doesn't burden me with sorrow or woe for too long. I don't want to see, I really don't like anyone to leave, but Gotta acknowledge that death is a part of life, right? That's the inevitability of it. So, but sometimes when your favorite, like I lost my favorite uncle, my father was a member of a 9-children family, and my favorite uncle was the baby, but he was very, very talented and mature, and he was very like meticulous about, taught me how to speak right. When he used to correct me when I didn't use words properly, he used to have me send me to the dictionary, and you know, and then he was also a boxer, and he taught me the fundamentals of boxing, and he was just an athletic, very colorful, very astute kind of guy, And so at his demise, it was like I sort of took it harder than I did when I lost my father. But then my father was not that hands-on with me. So I think there's this thing of favorites, right? I ain't going to say we all because I can't speak for everybody, but I'll say that I've noticed that in family structures, there are favorites in that family structure. And I've noticed also that if we're not careful, when we show favoritism to the family member, that it affects the family unit. I've observed that. So, you know, if a mother has three children and she favors one and demonstrates it, obviously, that has an effect on the other two. I've observed and noticed that. Matter of fact, I experienced that. So on the heels of what our brother's going through with his uncle, who he favored, I just think, you know, if we pour into the concept of family structures and how favoritism can have an impact on the family dynamic, if that makes sense. So, you know, I'll open it up. I don't know if this is a subject matter, but it's just on the heels of what's being shared. It just opens my mind to things I've observed. And as a result, a lot of times it doesn't work well if we're not careful how we show our favoritism. Does anybody follow or agree with that?
I agree.
Yes, sir.
That real?
Yes, sir.
Is that you, real?
Yes. You got a new phone?
No, but it's my other phone.
Hey,
no,
man,
I got actually three phones. I got a government phone, and this phone that I'm on right now is still property of T-Mobile because they didn't shut it off because they suckered me into getting two lines just to save a phone. So that other Boost Mobile thing, I can't do it. It's funny, I'll have to get a call, then call them back on another phone if I'm in a bad area. This is, like, really not working. But on what Marvell said, yeah, I did feel it. I'm the baby of seven. And so y'all can see why Rev kind of gets on that area to where it's like a crybaby moment. I'm used to being bullied in a sense, strong in a sense, loved less, even though I was a baby, you know, because she had six of them before me that she had to accommodate for the first four, fifth, sixth, and seventh before I came to be. So to me personally, my mother didn't have enough love to share. So now God's woken me up, and I try to find this family in my community. And I still feel like the same baby that's not getting the love and attention from his friends and his peers and everybody else, just the last on the burner. So that area of life goes with the deck of cards that were dealt. That became one of my biggest tests, and it still is. You know, I'm still a baby of this family. I still got six siblings, and mama not to step in no more because she died when I was 24. So I tend to find those in other families that's experiencing the same thing I'm going through or went through. And I comfort them on that area because I know what it feels like. I know how to help the healing of that part. That goes part of my Res Healing Foundation to where I just step my way into friends. I step my way into the families. I step my way into strangers, my homeless people, everybody I see. I can kind of be a plus in the middle instead of a minus. So trying to give that thing back to others so they would actually mirror, I ain't saying I'm perfection on what I'm doing, but to mirror that type of image to where don't let an acquaintance feel less than acquaintance when he wants to possibly be a friend in a group. Because I'm sure you guys met that situation before also. You just not acknowledged because you're not the best basketball player growing up or you're not the best this or that or that. I pushed myself through that, and I pushed further than that because I started seeing all the things that God has in me to be able to say, damn what you don't like in me. Because it has nothing really to do at this point in my life to appease and please people the way I used to. You know, I felt like I, And I got something like that around this house.
Hey, Red, just up, Lord, what you talking about?
They're talking about the family and being left to the side, basically.
I thought we was talking about death. Okay. All right. Well, my condolences to some brother. Let me get mine in real quick. I know you got a lot to say, but my condolences to Brother Tim and his family, man. And I just want to say, like, out here, a lot of times you guys say loss. You know, we lost this person. To me, loss would be more of they didn't know where they was going. But I just pray that the Holy Spirit can comfort him right now and that he was a Christian. And my faith say that we'll see him again. So some loss, you can't find it. But I say that sometimes we just got to sit back and say that one day we'll be with them again. I yield back.
Well, I didn't hear that in the beginning. My condolences to you also, Tim.
Hey, hello, this is Mark the Disciple, and I want to offer my condolences, and I want to tell you that you can lose keys, you can lose money, but you can't lose a person. That love you have for them remains in your heart. That spirit that you share with them remains in your heart. So anytime you feel that you're missing them, you can just hug yourself, and all that will come back. That's why God gave us memories, and I thank God for it. Peace and blessings to you, Jim.
Right on. Yeah, Rev, if you missed that part, it was on, you know, it just sprang from the subject matter sort of sprang from when someone is someone's demise affects you because of your relationship with them, and if they poured into your life and if they were special to you, then the pain is greater, and your feeling of loss may be greater. And then we sort of roll from that into how in a family dynamic times there are favorites. Say a mother has, as I gave an example, a mother has three children. And out of those three, she has one that she favors, and if she demonstrates it outwardly, then that has an impact on the other two children. And so, you know, it's just sort of one of those things where I know truly in my heart that what Tim is feeling is very intense because of the relationship, right? The strength of the relationship. And so that put that uncle in the favorite category, right? And so that part doesn't really. I had a favorite uncle. I told that story too. I had a favorite uncle too. And when at his demise, my feeling of loss and sadness was even more intense than the loss of my natural father. And so the favoritism.
Hold on, Marv. Someone needs to mute their phone.
Yeah, this is becoming a little bit like a little bit more of an issue as we grow, because as we grow and as we continue to build momentum in what we're doing, it becomes more important for us to maintain a certain degree of proficiency and professionalism so that we can attract more people. So if you have a risk of causing background sounds, we'd appreciate it you not even take the risk, because we're growing, and we want to make sure that we have a product that if we introduce to anybody, they will see it clearly and hear it clearly what the messages are without any obstruction. So please, let's work together to make sure that we don't infringe upon the smoothness of our deliveries, if you don't mind. So, it's just about really now. I don't know if this is going to be the total subject matter, but it's just one of those things where I have observed TISM is a practice, right? It's now the question is, if we're aware that we're practicing favoritism, do we examine it to see if it's having an ill effect on others that don't get the same favor? Because I've heard a term says favor ain't fair. I've heard that before. And what that means to me is when somebody has an affinity towards somebody that's stronger than somebody standing next to them, then you're going to see it and you're going to feel it. And yet that person that's standing next to the favorite might be doing the same thing the favorite's doing, but the favorite gets the most attention. So it kind of lends into that. So that's, I don't know. I'm not trying to make this a total subject matter, but it's just something that I felt when we talk about, you know, when how we feel when somebody that we really, really care about is no longer with us.
So peace and blessings, y'all. It's Brother Tim. Man, I'm listening to y'all as I'm preparing today. And, man, I want to thank you, Brother Marvell. Man, you lift up my spirits, brother. That's why I tell you we have a connection as more than just brothers. You family, man. And, you know, I appreciate you and I respect you. But let me just say this. You know, I heard you say that, you know, the loss of your uncle was more dramatic than the loss of your natural father, right? And so this uncle right here, I lost my dad when I was 9, and this uncle here is his brother, right? And my dad was 2 years older than him. And my uncle took me in, you know. He didn't have to. My uncle, you know, I got in some trouble. I went to the pen for a couple of years. When I got out, my uncle had me a spot to stay in. He was always giving me, hey, man, I can't tell you how to live your life, but that ain't the way. Trying to get that drug money. I don't sell drugs, so I don't see why you doing it. And we went through a lot of them conversations, and I was knuckleheaded, right? And then when I finally got myself together 28 years ago, my uncle came to me. He said, man, this is what I'm talking about. This is Timmy Pooh. This is who you are. Now do what you need to do and continue being a man of God. And man, when that's all, that was his message. He ain't never yelled. He didn't cuss. He didn't fuss. He didn't like what I was doing when I was coming up. He didn't. But he never disrespected me. I never disrespected him. Not one time. Never cussed in front of him. Never. So that's the uncle I'm talking about. You know, matter of fact, in the obituary, my cousins, his sons, they put me in there as his son, right? And that bitch, man, that's why I keep breaking down, you know. Peace and blessings, man. Peace and blessings.
Damn.
Yes, sir. Wow. Yeah, man. Yeah, dig it.
Marvell.
Yes.
Clarice.
Good morning.
Good morning. To kind of chime in on that, I just recently, within the last couple of days, lost a spiritual mother that has been in my life since I was 12, 13 years old. And, it could be very devastating. We say loss, but it is a loss in the sense that we knew them. I do know that in time you get to commune with them in a different manner, but that takes time to process that. And it's devastating, you know, someone to be in your life. So, but the good thing is that a year ago, I went to see her and we talked about a lot of things. She shared some things, you know, with me about, with my parents and some things that got cleared out with them. And I was really happy about that, to know that. And I had a meltdown with her because I was like, Mom, you know me. I mean, this is going on. I was going through so much. And it just had me just not confused, but somewhat confused. And she just looked at me and she said, baby, it's going to be all right. And that's all I needed. And it is all right. I mean, things did work out for me. But like I said, her service is going to be this weekend and next week. So I may go to one of them, but it's devastating. To have that happen, but you do get to enjoy them in a different way. And as far as that favor thing, where I've heard, as you said, Marvell, favor ain't fair, or where we use that, as far as God is. When you have the favor of God in your life, it just ain't fair to other people. It ain't fair to other people, but that's just the way it is. when God favors you and he blesses you, he blesses you, the blessings overtake you. It's not fair to other people. They say, well, why can't I get it? Why can't that? Favor ain't fair. That's how we use that term. Favor just ain't fair. I'm sorry, but it ain't fair. Thank you.
No, thank you. And I'll speak for the broad stroke. Our condolences to you for what you're experiencing now as a result of someone you care about being no longer tangible and readily available. And see, you know, the type of, see, what you said about her saying to you something as simple as, it's going to be all right, and that was enough for you. A lot of people might say the same thing, and it won't have the same impact. It sounds like a brush off, like, oh, you'll be all right. Oh, you'll be all right. Oh, it's going to be all right. And we, you know, that sounds like, for the most part to me, it sounds like somebody is, you know, if they're not really rooted, as we talked about yesterday, if they're not rooted in my spirit as a confidant, if they said that, I might not take it to heart. I might just think, well, okay, it'll be all right, I reckon. But when somebody that you know is for you, like we talked about yesterday, that is for you, says that, the spirit of that is far more when somebody like that doles it out to you. So I'm just pleased to hear that someone was in your life, you know, available to you, that had that kind of influence. And I'm hoping that we could develop our relationship to where I could be the same. Because you're a deserving individual, you're talented, you're mindful of how to help and when to help, and you discern pretty well. So I'm just volunteering myself to work my way to be someone that you could trust like that in your life, because we all deserve to have a good confidant.
Ditto. Thank you for that. And I also would like to say that listening to this program and listening to the different people share their experiences has been really, really, really good. I mean, it's cleared up a lot of things in my mind, you know. And so I enjoy it thoroughly. And my desire is to say something or to do something that could encourage someone else accomplish and complete their goals. I can't do it for you, but I can certainly give an encouraging word. I can give information. And yes, I want to also add this other. This is kind of off subject, but on subject in a sense. You know, we hear a lot of talking, a lot of gossip, a lot of stuff, but I have a solution for that, and that is become solution. In gossip, there is information. And if you become solution, solution will only bond with information. And so what does solution do with that information? It fucks it. And then let all that other stuff keep circulating. It'll just keep on going by. You don't have to get with gossip. Become solution. You get information, solve it. Thank you.
Praise God.
Right on. That you read.
Yeah, I was just saying praise God, but I too have gotten things from the radio blog. Other than that, I wouldn't call back and listen or pay attention to it. I know there's times where I need to be different than what I am, if I can say that, because I know at times I can be aggressive, but I can be real humble, and I don't want to be that person. When it comes to being the friend, to being anything past that. So I would hope and pray that there would be someone within the midst if something were to happen to me, even though I know it'll be a lot of people, still in my heart it should be. Because I didn't have a close connection to most people in my family. I found closeness out of my family. That's why friends become so important to me and the things that I'm doing, because that's what makes an impact in my life, and I know it does in other people's lives. That's why Tim and Marvell are close, because you became the friend, passed that to the brother. I've mentioned a gentleman probably 1,000 times since he's passed, and only knew that man 9 months. Old Sacramento Money Wolf man. He made an impression in my life by stepping up to be the friend, passed his own family, married 8 times, had 21 kids, and he called me a brother, not a godson or anything like that. He called me a friend, not any of these labels that he had for other people. And so I get the loss of the love of someone, and it saddens me sometimes where I don't know anybody in my family that I would have that deep feeling for, because I size them up and I look at what's going on in today's life that I'm living with them, and also the friends and or acquaintances that's trying to work their way into the friendship. And once I hear or see or feel anything, I tend to put up my walls. And that's good, because I don't want to hurt and mourn and everything at the end, because Christ doesn't expect that. God doesn't expect that, that we let the living live and the people that die, die. We can keep something good in our hearts, but not to throw us way out of the vortex of life. I said the right word. Because it can do that. Some people commit suicide or just want to break away from life because they lose someone on earth. My encouragement is to let God have them if he's receiving them. And if you know that God wasn't receiving them, take it that way. If you know they're a menace to our society and they die, we don't need to go burn down something and beat up everybody in the world. So that's how I feel about life and death. You know, we live, we laugh, we just die. And I don't want to be the one, like I say, to mourn every day over somebody, even though I find my spirit gets uplifted when people die. So I know that part of me I haven't lost, like even with my friend that passed. Things that he was trying to accomplish flowed right over to me, like I took over his spirit to really get out there and want to help these people and bring them together, because he had 2 desires to do the same thing. But, yeah, once again, I'm thankful to be here. I love everybody. I don't have no dislikes or anything against no one, no hate at all ever on this line and all that I meet. So I'm thankful once again to be here, gentlemen and ladies.
Hey, man. Hey, Rev. Let me tell you something, man. It's very moving to hear you say that you're getting something to help you grow out of this process, man, because, you know, we've well long understood your evangelism to be not just for, you know, the Spirit of God working through you, but it's also you seem to be seeking to be a part of something or be the head of something where it brings people together, man, and we respect that. We also recognize that you were a little hard-headed about certain aspects, and then we just kept on being patient with you, but kept on being firm and adamant about it. And now, man, I can feel how things are going to change and go well, because that's what we're doing, man. We pour into each other whether we like it or not. We don't have to like it when someone pours into you, but if more than one person says the same thing, that more than one sane person says the same thing 2 or 3 times, then maybe it's time to look, man. And that's what I feel you're doing, man. So look, I appreciate you, Rev. I respect you, man. And I'm looking forward to putting down everything, the skills and anointment that you have, to putting it in effect, to do just what you started to do, man, to have the impact on other people's lives, because that's the bottom line that I've observed about you, brother. So it warms me up to hear you say the way you said it, not just what you said, but the way you said it, because you used the word humility. And I'm going to be candid with you. Up until recently, we haven't really, when I say we've talked about it, and we haven't really arrived at that. That was something that you were getting with was the humility. You seem to be defensive all the time and want to, you know, going to justify things. Brother, listen, it's time for us to get together and put some work down. And I'm glad to be able to say that I'm willing to do work with you in anything you want to get done, man.
Amen.
And that's sincere.
No, thank you, sir.
Yeah, I'm
appreciate
sincere
that.
About that, man. Yes, sir. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is what we strive for here. We strive for honesty, humility, candor, and optimism. That's what we strive for here. And if anybody who's been along, walked alongside this journey with us, don't see that yet, just keep popping in. Just keep on listening, and you'll get the message that this is a caring, sharing project. It's an experiment on how we do it. So we're attempting to demonstrate everything that we're asking you to consider, we're attempting to demonstrate now. And so far, I think we've been doing a pretty damn good job. Oh, yeah.
I second that, my brother. Peace and blessings, everybody. This is Brother Tim. Hey, so look, I want to thank the brothers from the Healing Circle last night. So I was dealing with the loss of my uncle, but then, you know, life is lifing, right? And so, you know, you're gonna get a piece of life if you're living, right? And so I got a little piece of life, and things is working out. See, one thing I know about my brothers at the Healing Circle, they real. Just like on this radio show, if you've never been to the Men's Healing Circle, I'm gonna need you to come by, because watch this. Last night we had a 16-year-old that just got released from juvenile hall. I talked to the social worker. She got them involved with us last night. That young man got dropped off out there. And, man, I'm going to show you how we make him feel like family. Now, this young man, his mom told him she didn't want him, so they got him with his sister. His sister has four kids. They're living in a motel. Come on, somebody. I think y'all not listening with both ears. I need you to hear me. They're living in a motel. This young man got dropped off over there, and when he did his run the wheel, he said his name, his age, and he said, I'm trying to change my life. Am I right, Marvell?
That's exactly what he said.
Watch this, though. So when I heard that, and he's a youngin', and I'm not putting the dots together, as that's the young man that Amber was sending to me, because when he came in, he said Whitney, and that's his sister, and I don't know Whitney, so there's a couple of kids supposed to come, so I don't know who's who, right? So make a long story short, I was talking about a situation, and so all the brothers was talking good talk, giving good direction, and some correction. And so I looked at the young brother, and he's sitting there just twisting his hair. You know how them kids twist them locks. He's twisting his hair. I said, hey, young brother, I said, what do you think about this discussion that's going on? Do you know this young man, in the situation he in, then said he trying to change his life, around some OGs he don't know, came with it. Did he come with it, Marvell?
Man, he doubled up. He hit you with a two-punch.
A two-piece. Mark the Disciple was there. Mark the Disciple, you can you attest to that? See, I don't want to just keep talking about this funeral thing, because I got to go to it in a minute, right?
Yes, sir.
And thank y'all for all y'all do right there. But let's move on to some of this goodness. We're going to talk about Thankful Thursday now. Mark.
Yes, sir. He was very enlightening, and I was proud to hear from him.
So
let me tell you how
this young man.
Okay, go ahead, Tim.
This young man went to a food locker, and one of my dear friends was running it, right? And so he went in there to get some food with his sister because they don't have anything. They're living in the shelter, and they're just trying to get what they can right now until they get on their feet. Watch this. He go in there, and he's getting the food. And my friend said, and I'm gonna call that. That was my friend, and I felt some type of way. Watch this, young man, you stink. What? She don't even know his situation. She don't know why he in there, but you don't. And guess what he did? He cried, y'all, and put the bag down and walked out of there and called the social worker, and the social worker came back and swooped him up and his sister and took him back to the motel, and he cried the whole way out there. That's why they contacted me. They said, hey, I got a young man I need for you to wrap your arms around. I know how you get down. And so when he left there, y'all, I want you to know the brothers poured into him in a real way. I thank you, brothers. That's what we're talking about. See, we ain't got to go look for no youth that don't want this help. They've got kids that really want this help, and you'll see success out of them. Now, I'm not saying don't work with everybody, but these are the ones, when they say they want to change their life, that's when you got to be the best you can be as a mentor, as a big brother, as uncle. You have to be at your best. So when you come to the healing circle and you unleash like we did last night and you seen how, brother, it was so, man, the spirit was in there. And I want to thank my brothers. I'm going to pass the mic.
I say,
good morning, everyone.
Go ahead, Michelle. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My condolences to you, to Brother Tim. But I want to say this. Someone really, really needs to be consistent with him, with that young man right now. He's going to be vulnerable. He's already got everything against him because, first of all, you said his mama didn't want him. Second, he's got another challenge. He's with another, you know, he's with his sister that has challenges. So the odds are already against him, and right now he needs all the arms, all the prayer warriors, all the men that are going to say that say that they're going to be there. They need to be there, and he needs that because he can be easily go back to whatever he did to put him where he was at. And that young man needs to be needs to have some counseling as well. But somebody, that young man, whatever you do with that young man, it has to be consistent. It has to be consistent.
Shay, and I am on point with that. So watch this. I talked to a few people because he is in the north, right? I talked to a few people in the north, and they said they're going to put hands on him. But this is the coolest thing about this. We still going to have to keep hands on him, too. We just can't give him a warm handoff because he felt the spirit in that room, and he might not feel that in the no, I ain't gonna say because it's the north area or the south area, but it's the men healing circle I'm talking about that we had last night that he opened up to. You might not get that everywhere, and that might be the spot that he can open up. He might get to the next spot and shut down. So, Miss Belton, I appreciate you, but yeah, we gonna have to put hands on him. Got to all day. So I called this morning, right? And he's at school. I said, well, right on, man. And so we got some clothes to go drop off today. Right after I leave this funeral, I got it set up to where I don't know if he can fit them. We got to see. But I do have a lot of clothes, and they barely use. My son's big boy. They barely use, and he looked like his size. So we're going to see if that works. If not, we have to do something else, get him some warm-ups until we can get on our feet. I'm going to put something out on Facebook to see if we can get some help from our community, right? This is where the community say they support. I need to see a little support. It ain't, you know, just get the shoes. I'll tell you the size. And matter of fact, I'll tell you the size. I'll get all that. And then put that out there. But I need my community to show up for this young man. This is what we're doing. We're doing this right here, saving our babies. So if you was talking about Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence, it would be like this. It's Hooked on Fishing, serving Sacramento youth, one serve at a time, but we're casting, and we're trying to catch all that we can. So it's Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence, where we're saving one life, one cast at a time. And that's all it is, man. We got to put in this work.
Yes, sir. You know what, Tim? I would like for him to continue to come to the Men's Healing Circle because he is a young man. He's going into manhood at an early age, unlike a lot of these other youths that has their parents in the home and he's in, you know, a well-kept home. He needs to continue to come into the Men's Healing Circle so we can help him to grow as a man.
Yes,
okay, so you know what happened? What happened was he linked with and had a nice chat with Waddell.
He lives out there with him.
He lives out there with him, and they had a nice little chat. Let me share something with y'all that tells me that we're operating in the spirit of God. First of all, if that woman had not insulted that kid, Tim wouldn't have been brought to the table. That's number one. Number two, when I got to the meeting, I saw him standing in front. And kids, young people are in and out of there all the time. But it was something about him that made me ask him what he was up to. And he said, I was supposed to be coming to a program. And I said, well, was it a youth healing circle? He said, yeah, he thought it was like, you know, the youth inner circle. And I said, well, man, we had that yesterday. He said, oh, dang. I said, but if you want to come in here now to the men's inner circle, I said, you're welcome. And he was hesitant. And I said, no, man. I said, don't worry about it. I said, man, this is a warm place for you to be. Come on in there and check it out. And he came in there. So the Spirit of God been operating step by step for us to attract. Because, see, now when we talk about, we were starting talking about favorites and favoritism, right? Now we can see how you can attract favor. It's the law, right? Because the moment he got humble and the moment he got comfortable and participated and shared enough of what he was going on with him, for us to know where we can help him, he attracted our favor. Now he's in our favor. And he's going to benefit from our favor because we're operating in the unction of the Spirit of God to make things better for our people.
I say. That sounds good because that is what we're doing. We're helping one to another, and we're proving that. Because me as well as many of the men have got a lot of help out the healing circle. Just by being present, you never know what might happen, what might come out of it. And that's why it's important that we get together and try to get a women's healing circle going on. Because there's a lot of broken women out there that need healing and they can only heal each other.
Right on. Yeah, Tim was saying he had put that in motion to try to, you know, try to generate some momentum with that. I don't know how much of that we could. Okay, good. Because I don't know how much of that we. How much of that do you think we can impact?
Yes, so the women wanted to come to the men's healing circles, right? They were like, hey. And then we had a few brothers say, well, we need to let the women in. I had a few brothers got out of the circle because there wasn't no women in there. I said, well, it's you have alternative motive if you just want women to be in there. This ain't no dating scene. But I'm trying to get mine off my chest. Yeah, it's in motion. My wife and a few other ladies is trying to come together and put it together. It's just that their schedules, they got youth, you know, they got kids, and they really are. It's just hard to get them to find a time that everybody can come. Right. Yes, Ms. Michelle.
Okay. Yeah, my daughter, you know, when I was telling her about the healing circle, I talked to her yesterday. The first thing that she said was, Mom, can I go? And then I was like, well, that's an all men circle. So I want to say this. the women's circle needs to be developed. It needs to be in motion, because there are a lot of broken women. And sometimes in the morning, that's not available, you know. And the only time that they probably can come is at in the evening after 5 o'clock. So if you can put that together, Mr. Tim, it is very much necessary and needed.
And that's good, and to come from a woman saying this. They know they need it. They know it's a lot of women too, and it's a lot of men. See, us as men, we try to hide up under the rock for a long time, but see, women, they emotions come, and they really need to get it off. And I think a Sisters Healing Circle, so we had one maybe 6 years ago. It lasted for about, Tia Pope was in that. She's with the BBOA. Tia Pope was in that, her and a few other ladies I had over at the Greater Sacramento Urban League. And so it was Queens, Healing Queens, right? That was the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it lasted for a while. What happened is ladies came in that lost their youth to gun violence, and it was a lot of them, right? And the pain in that room was too much, and they didn't have, see, that was our learning time. See, we learned from that. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a therapist or a counselor in there, right? And so, as you see, we have a counselor. We used to have Miss Dorita at one time. Everybody remember Miss Dorita? She's been with us for 4 or 5 years, right? And then we have this new one that we,
Yeah, right, I remember.
Okay, and so we have a new one, and Karina is her name. And she brung her son with her. She loves the Healing Circle for the youth. She brung her son in, right? And so what happened with these ladies, they didn't have a physical therapist in there, or they didn't have nobody. And so they was talking about their sons being murdered and this and that, and it got to a point where no one got shut down when they left that Healing Circle. And we had a couple of ladies went to what is called SMIC. SMIC.
Yeah.
It's the mental health building over there off of I think it's Stockton.
Stockton.
So it had got so bad where a couple of them ladies went into that process, and man, it got ugly, because then other sisters, you didn't have anybody to shut them down, and it brung out other traumas of ladies being raped, and it was bad. And so we learned that we have to have a professional in the room when we see the men's. We don't have no professional in there, because half the time we the professionals. We know we full of the professionalism. But our sisters, they do have that. But if you go too deep, if you cut too deep, you might get a bleed that you can't plug up. I'm going to pass the mic.
Okay. Let me piggyback off of that, Brother Tim. So women also, just like you said, have lots of layers. And because about the absentee of our men, they have a lot to say. And so I also suggest that we create a couples therapy, but a group therapy of both men and women, because that way we always say, well, why can't she talk to me? Or why, you know, we need to have a space where we can hear each other in the same room. So that way our men can understand us, and our women can understand our men.
I agree.
We need to have that type of circle as well.
I agree. And you know what, Mama Chaka, we had one of them, right? And I don't know what happened to that. The couples stopped coming because we kept the door open. I think that we need to revisit them. The Queens, Healing Queens, or they can change the name or whatever, but we need to bring that back for our sister. But we just need to have professionals in the room that are going through it too. We don't want them to be not from the area that they're trying to be concerned with, right? Because you can't come over here and tell me with an AABA master's degree and you ain't never been into the hood and you trying to tell me some hood stuff. I'd rather from somebody from the hood tell me something from the hood. And so, yeah, you're listening to the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. The call-in number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. It is 54 after the hour right here on the Wise Words of One Gone Show, and it's a beautiful topic today. I'm going to pass this mic over to the host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell?
Yes, sir. Hold on. Am I on? Let me make sure I'm on. I thought I might be on mute. Am I on?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, because I was doing some research right quick. so, hey, Mama Chocolate Michelle, I understand that you were supposed to be in Sacramento yesterday.
And there was some situations that prevented me, but I'm still coming. It's just I'm a day late. I'm a day behind, but we are coming, and we'll just go from there when I get there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we were sort of anticipating at least an appraisal if you weren't going to make it, that you would holler or something, you know. But hey, I know how circumstances kind of. Put a muzzle on
the circumstances was the key was that young man, you know, and things things have transpired, and it's like, you know, he's that type of guy, you know. If you ain't ready right now, I'll be back, but it didn't come, you know, he didn't come back on time, and so it's 3 hours away, you get what I'm saying, and I wouldn't have made it on time at that, you know, at the circle, so I had to, we're still ready to go, but, today, you know, what is the, what's the agenda today? Do you guys have an agenda today? But we're still coming anyway, because we have another agenda, but I really wanted him to make that group. And so, what do you guys have on Thursday, if any?
Well, we don't have that structure on Thursday yet. A lot of us are flexible in regard to responding to our young people and responding to circumstances that exist with our young people. So it might be advisable instead of last minute trying to find out that, you know, if you were. I would like to think that you would feel comfortable enough to keep us apprised of decisions that are made or decisions that are rescinded. If you decide you're not going to do something, you know, when you give us the impression that you were going to do something, that you just let us know, because that's part of the communication system that's going to get us more hands-on with the type of things that you often propose that you want us to do. You want us to be hands-on and consistent. However, periodically, it seems like, well, if you change your mind, you don't let us know. And it's kind of same thing, you know, with agreements. So it's sort of like an agreement. And then when agreements are not met, it kind of takes the wind out of the sail of those who want to be of support.
Okay. Okay, well, one more thing. Okay, so when this happens, just like in my school, right? Well, you guys should have a different platform. If you guys can do Zoom, possibly, so like some of these people can't come to the meetings in person. So, what other alternative do you have if someone wants to come and they're not able to come? But do you have Zoom where they can still be involved, but just not in person and be on virtual?
I tell you what we've done, because a lot of times brothers that are not able to attend they will call in with that face thing with the phone. I've done that numerous times. Tim has done that. When Tim was out with his injury, he called in, and then he'll sit through the meeting with the phone, right? So
right.
We do have alternatives. We can get creative.
Okay.
We just need to be inspired to be creative.
Okay.
Having the willingness of those who are expecting us to perform to demonstrate their willingness. And we will make a provision.
Okay. And then my last thing is, just like I was saying, things happen after 5 o'clock. What do you have, or what do you do when you have a youth and something happens after 5 o'clock? Who is readily available? Is that something that you guys let these kids know? Like, hey, if something happens to you, or if you need to talk to me, I'm available from what time to what time? Because once again, things happen after 5 o'clock with these youth.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something that I propose to your son and to your daughter. And that is, when you if you're in a crisis, or if you just want to talk about something that will prevent a crisis, you can call me. That's what I said to them. Call me anytime. And I took my phone off of put it on ringer all night. And I usually don't do that because my wife sleeps light, but I told her, I said, look, I'm going to have to put this on because if I get a call, I got to be here to respond to this call. She understands that because that's where I came from. Whenever there's an issue that's a potential crisis or an issue mm-hmm. that deserves some pouring in and conversation or support, anytime. So you want us to say we got structured something. This is not something we have structured. It's just a matter of spirit, because if the humility to call is there, then the humility to respond is there.
Okay. All right, will do. Thank you.
Right on. So you know that favoritism is to me that seems like it's a law. It creates a law. It creates a momentum, because I'm looking at that situation with the youth last night, and we have five brothers standing around him waiting to find out how we can help him. Five brothers standing there. And then when his sister came, we walked over to the car and introduced ourselves to the sister and let her feel the warmth of our support and our willingness, so that she'll know he in the right place. But the youth has attracted our favor now. And so I guess the lesson in the teaching for young people that might be listening, or people who have influence with young people, the law in motion, by showing your willingness and showing your vulnerability, just sharing what's going on with you, and you'll be surprised, pleasantly surprised most times, of how people will respond to you. Once you do that, you attract favor. I hope everybody agrees with
me. So watch this. The important thing in all of this, y'all, I just want y'all to know, I've been doing this work, and I do it for real, right? The most important thing about this is when they say they're trying to change their life. It's when they want it. It's not when I want it. It's not what I'm going to put in front of them. It's not a Houdini act. It's not a magic trick. This is the real. And if they don't want it and they ain't working as hard as I'm working, then that ain't going to work. Because it's a self thing. If you've been on drugs, if you've been in the streets, if you've been wherever, on alcohol, if you've been on whatever you've been on, you know what I'm saying. It don't happen until you make it happen. Now, if you get assistance with you making it happen, thank the Most High for the assistant. But it's you that's got to do the work. We can't. So I got a youngster in our youth healing circle. He's on drugs. But when he come to that healing circle, man, he fooled us all. Well, he don't pull us all, but I mean, he got so much game and how he presents on every topic that the newcomers, they can't tell that he either had some drugs earlier or just did them. But he come in there and he woes us, right? Because Marvell told me to take him out of leadership because he's, you know, but we have to work with him right where he at, y'all. That's the thing about that. We had to leave him right. We had to leave him where he at, and we had to meet him where he at. But he got to want to do it. And until he want to do it, until he want to do it, we still going to be right here. He's still in leadership. He's still in leadership because he takes over. He takes over with the leadership. He know when to hit the button. He know when to come in. Am I right, Mark the Disciple?
Yes, sir, you are right. The boy is smart, intelligent. He knows what he wants out of life. But like you say, it's something he has to want to do. And I strongly believe he wants to do it, but we understand ourselves the power that drugs have over a person.
Come on, man.
Drugs and alcohol.
See, we're
going to
keep it real.
Thing.
You said it right there.
So
knowing
what we've been through, because all of us has been through some terrible tests and trials. And some of us still struggle with it. I see it every night. But we are pushing through. And when we get together, we all gain strength and we pour into this young man, just like we pour into one another. So we all help us one to another. In God, we're going to do it.
Okay. And with that being said, as you know, minds indulges every day. So when he does come into the circle, I'm almost 100% sure that he's going to be under the influence. But just being there and accepting him for who he is at that moment and not judging him is one thing that a person that is using drugs would, you know, don't want to be, you know, looked upon, he's hot, he got to go. No, if he's there, that means he's trying.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yes, I said.
Left him in leadership.
Yeah, exactly. You don't take him away from that because that's what's bringing him back, the fact that you're letting him be
That's probably the only thing he can hang on.
Exactly. And eventually, the usage will probably start minimizing, okay, decreasing, because once again, if you're a drug addict, they say you can't quit, a lot of us say can't quit cold turkey. So it's tapering. But you allow that young man to be in that position because you don't even know how much of an effect that you're having by allowing him to be in that position. And that might be the real thing for him to eventually say, hey, I'm done. I can do this. I can do this without that drug.
And that's what I'm waiting on.
That part. Let him continue to come as he is. Accept me for who I am right now.
Come on. Yes.
So I'm just going to say that. And I will, Mr. Marvell, I hear you loud and clear. You are one of those men that are very consistent with what they're doing, and I get it. And so I will continue to, if I say something and it doesn't happen the way I say it's going to happen, I will come back and give you an update.
I appreciate that. But now
yes,
we on the subject.
Yes,
Narcotics Anonymous. What say ye about that?
Once again, you can't just come to Narcotics Anonymous if that person is not here. Out here, the Narcotics Anonymous, most of the classes are at night. Red has this, he operates different. And right now, like I said, it's just one day at a time with me, with him, one day at a time. And then I have my own schedule. So it's like I have to wrap everything around him And so I have to do what I have to do to keep the roof over our head. But at the same time, you know, I am spread out thin. I'm spread out thin, and I have to do what I can do at that moment. And so I hear you with the NA. I hear you with the NA loud and clear. And I'm going to continue to try to make that happen. But at the same time, I have to, as much as I want it to happen, he has to want it.
Right. Okay, let me propose this. When next you see him, whatever state he's in, if he, because he's been willing to participate in our forum here while he's in his stupor, but he still
right.
participates. So I'm impressed with that. So when next you're with him, have him give me a call, and I'll get a commitment from him to attend Narcotics Anonymous, and then hopefully you'll be able to oblige him to get him there. But I'll talk to him about the commitment and the agreement to get there, because I thought we had an agreement that you were going to do the research and put it in motion.
I did the research.
But, Right.
I got the date.
But I put it in motion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So so I'm just saying, like what we're saying, we're in agreement. We're in accordance that we can do all the planning and all of the mapping out that we want to. But if he's not willing, then nothing's going to happen. We agree on that. True?
True that.
Okay. So with that truth, I'll get an agreement. Just put him on the phone with me, and I'll work toward an agreement with him to shake this down. And see what it does is, if he refuses to consider this as an option, then we know just where he is in his willingness, right? And so we can keep on attracting willingness, but we can't keep on preceding his willingness with a whole bunch of energy that's getting wasted, because I'm not going to keep on pouring into a vessel that's got a hole in it and I'm watching it leak out. Fix the hole first.
Okay.
And then pour in. Right?
Right.
So when you talk to him next, put him on the phone with me, and I'll see if I can get an agreement with him to give this a shot.
Okay. Will do.
Very well. Okay, very
checking
well.
Out.
You know, his pattern is so I'm gonna be a little candid, you know, transparent. You know, this is all day. This is every day a situation, and so it's timing, and then once he does what he does, you know, hustle or whatever, and he comes and he's back, you know, like an all night thing. You know what I mean? Until he's done. And normally, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and then once his body just shuts down. You know, because once he, and the crazy part is, you're asleep, okay? You're asleep. But then once he gets up, he eats everything. I mean, he just goes in the refrigerator, and then he just eats everything. You know, he just eats, and then he will fall asleep. But now, because he is, he's doing it, he does it every day. It's starting to affect his lungs, and so now he's not. You know, I can see it developing. You know, and so he's like, he just said yesterday, Mom, I'm not feeling good. I may have to go to the hospital. I said, well, you already knew that. But you continue to, you know, to do what you do. You know what's causing you to feel that way. So until you not do what you're doing. You're making your situation worse right now. One moment, you guys. I have another call.
Okay.
Because I wanted to ask her if has she tried to have him admitted into a program. He needs to be in a controlled environment where there's
right.
nurses on duty, because he's
right.
not going to stop. He may want to, but that addiction has overpowered his mind that it's going to feed it, and that's what it does. You're going to feed that addiction whether you want to or not. So he needs to be in a controlled environment.
So dig, Mark. Dig this.
Yeah.
The reason is not just the format. It's not just the success ratio. It's not the fact that it's just that it's free that I'm urging this participation. It's because when he gets in there, can give him referrals to stuff that's available. Because we don't, you know, the people that are in the throes of it,
yeah,
and coming out of it, they know all of the levers to pull. They know all of the resources to draw from, and they can do a proper referral for him to get involved in something, right? Because they know. They in there. So that's why one of the main reasons why is that we're looking for resources. Well, the best place to get the resources is from people who are already using them. That makes sense?
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I understand what you're saying. But I was just saying, due to the severity, she says he's having breathing problems. This is something that you don't want to, you know, dilly-dally around with. Because, I mean, his life is at stake.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. However, Mark, till he comes to grip with the understanding that this is suicide and make a decision whether or not he wants to live.
Right.
Right?
Well, I understand.
So right now it's looking like, okay, if he has an episode and they ambulate him to the hospital, then if he lives through it, then maybe, right? But right now, to be candid with you, there aren't that many programs that have a very effective detox. They just right now they're doing methadone maintenance and stuff like that with other drugs and stuff like that, but far as like just having a you got to be in a program, and I'm not familiar with any programs that actually start with a detox from this particular drug. I'm not aware of that.
Yeah,
doesn't mean they don't exist.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so you know, it's like you get on a pulse of really what to do. You got to get around people that's doing it, and that's just kind of that simple. We can speculate all day because we've heard a lot of speculation about how it should work, right? We constantly
right.
hearing it, how it should work, but ain't nothing working. So we can't go on how it should work. Let's go with how it is working and find out how they're making it work. Those are the people in that format. That's why I keep on screaming it. And I keep on hearing, you know, excuses of why not it's been being applied. It's a shot. It's another shot. If you ain't going to take a shot at something, then you're just very telling about your willingness. And if you're not willing, then all we could do is pray for you till you get some.
I agree with you, bro.
Amen.
Hey,
this
Double R. It just Double R, man. I don't mean to cut y'all off. I just want to give an update on the reparations. They had a big meeting yesterday with the Black Caucus, if I may.
Sure. Come on with it. I'm curious, too.
Okay, and everybody can see it. It happened yesterday at 10 o'clock a.m. I had to leave the station to watch this. It's powerful. But if you guys want to pull it up, you can see the whole meeting. It's an hour and 10 minutes and 50 seconds. You will pull up on YouTube. See? As in C as in Chris, LBC, California Legislation Black Caucus. So CLBC 2024 reparations. It just happened yesterday at 10 a.m. But this is a conversation with a lot of powerful people in there. You have your 12 members from the CLBC on there. Plus you had Assemblyman Reginald Jordan Surya was on there. Senator Bradford was on there. And they're talking real deep about this movement. So if you guys want to check out the update and everything they talk about, it's a lot to talk about for me. I don't have the time. But in a nutshell, I think that they need to open up their minds to not just saying that we either go get cash or we're going to get community money for our community. I think we need both. But however, when you guys get time, man, please check it out. It's an hour and 10 minutes, 50 seconds. It will give you where we are now. And the process. And another thing, I know we was talking about, I'm going to go back to this, the woman circle. I want to nominate the two queens on here, Sister Clarice and Queen Clarice and Queen Michelle, to help run this. This will be the resolution for the women's circle. I yield back.
Right on. Okay, so while we're talking about that, because I shared something the other day, I have someone, I'm in league with someone who is on an advisory board for the reparations. And let me make sure. I've got to make sure it's the they did say it's the state. It's the state overview of reparations, right? And so what was shared with me was a little bit disheartening for a couple of reasons. But what was shared with me about how the reparations is going to be handled is, the state is going to allot the cities with the monies to sponsor programs that will represent equity and opportunity rather than cash awards. And like you say, Double R, I think it should be a combination of the two. And so I want to get some real clarity about whether or not that's a staple and that's a hardcore, or if it's just the first wave. I need to get that straightened out. So we tried to call Chris the other night, and we didn't get to him. You know, we ought to answer that question. We already know the answer to that question. You know, if Dude holler back, we should feel good that we're getting a call back, because, dude, his busyness makes it so that we don't get a chance to talk much. But I want to get some clarity about that so that when we talk about it, we could, sort of like contour it toward what's likely to happen rather than what we expect or want to happen, right? Cash awards, because people are, I want my cash. I need, You know, everybody wants their cash, right? And if it's not going to be cash, then it's probably important for us to make sure we frame it well in the fact that it's not going to be cash, but it's going to be something that you can get cash in on.
I think that is misleading, because a lot of people don't live in the cities no more. We moved away. So you giving it to a community, so-called community I don't even live in no more, I think that's missing the point. You know, that's missing the mark right there. You know, I think, like I said, it should be both. I mean, come on, man. They owe us everything.
Right.
You know, and how you going to give it to either one and now, like a now or later? You know what I'm saying? I want it now and later. You feel me? So,
yeah,
come on.
See,
you know, it's for a future generation and everything else. Go ahead.
But Double R, in that presentation, did they mention anything about that, the distribution?
Yeah, they said it's still a process, and basically, man, what they're saying is it'll be about 3 years before we see anything happen. You know, this is what the California Legislation Black Caucus Committee is talking about. So, and they're talking about, what they were saying, too, was like, well, we don't need to rush this. I said, ain't that a blip? You feel me? You don't need to rush it. Man, it's been 404 years. You need to rush it. You know, we need to take our time because we don't want legislation to cut this bill down and cut this bill down. Come on, man. You know, I mean, if y'all get a chance, just watch it, man. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's going to give you a lot of education on what's going on with the CLBC. How you feel, Pat?
Okay, I'm certainly going to do that. As a matter of fact, I'll do it on my way because I'm going to represent Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence at the Black Caucus. A fundraiser for college, right? Theme is, I think I mentioned it yesterday, the theme is, music and its impact, or the etymology of music or whatever. But I have a presentation that I'm going to be doing. It's going to take about 15, 20 minutes to do, because Tim is going to pay his respects, and then I'm going to stand in the gap and do that today. But on the way there, I'm going to tune in on this CLBC and get a bite of it. It's going to take about a half hour, then I'll watch the other half on the way back, because I'm very interested in what the status is, because we're promoting, right? I'm passing out flyers and I'm talking to people. I'm raising the consciousness. I don't want to risk saying something that's not going to happen, right? So that's my big concern right now, is as I advocate for reparations, I want to be able to keep it neutral and then say, well, listen, we don't really know exactly what, but we still have to build a momentum and a consciousness to say that we know something is deserved, and whatever it is, we want it. So, yeah, man, it's getting kind of,
yeah, my thing too, it just happened in Sacramento yesterday. I mean, and they had a big Q&A session at the end, and I was very, very impressed on where they let everybody in that audience ask a question. I'm thinking, like, why in the hell nobody knew about it? So we can have more really real questions that the other people, I mean, they have some good questions. Like I say, you have to listen real deep to the end when they tune the questions, because they didn't mic them up. But what I'm saying is that, did y'all know about it?
I didn't.
Okay, he was right in your backyard.
That's what I'm saying. You know what, though? Here's the thing. I think those blurbs or whatever they call them pop up, like group things and all that stuff, man, or my email. Might have been something sent in my email, and I ain't that dude. You know, I need to become a better, but I ain't that dude. I don't be like, you know, because the stuff be so small, you know, I scroll down about 8 or 10, you know, them things. If I don't see somebody jumping out that I really want to hear from, man, I just kind of throw in the towel, because, you know, it would be straining my eyes. Plus, there's a whole bunch of Bojacks hollering at me that I don't even know who they are, and I had to open it up to find out and all that junk. So maybe if something was sent that I missed, maybe, you know. But I think it should be more of a promotion, and that's what we're attempting to do. We're attempting to do a kind of a blanket promotion campaign, so the people will know what this thing is. Because I done talked to people, and they don't have any idea what I'm talking about. Reparations. No, I ain't heard nothing about that. That's, I heard people say that. No, then I hear people say, I heard something about it. And it got something to do with giving us something or something. You know, and they're kind of like in the blind, right? So to raise the consciousness is what I signed up to do, because I recognize how important it is for people, the envelope, to get this thing done and get it solidified so that it's a lock. It's an agreement, you know, verbal or literal agreement, because you got too many people that just going to be salty if you don't do what you say you're going to do. But if it ain't that many salty about it, ain't that many people know about it, then it can't be too many salty about it. And if it ain't that many people salty about it, then they can just dole out a little something and say, there, be grateful. So that's what I'm concerned about, man. So, wow. Okay,
yeah,
I'm going
to
check it out.
It was on YouTube Live. It was live on YouTube. They sent it to me in text form, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm certainly going to shake it down, man, because I'm getting ready to get in the house right now, switch up, you know, eat a little something and go, because I'm supposed to be at that caucus. I'm going to try to get there by, they start at 11:30, I'm going to try to get there by no later than 12, because they want me to do the presentation, I guess, maybe after lunch or whatever. So, but, yeah, on the way, man, I'm going to shake that down, because it's getting kind of suspicious, you know? And that's the same thing that people demonstrate when I say something to them about it. It's suspicion. It's like, yeah, right. You know, yeah. Well, so what they going to, you know, I can't answer questions. All I can say is, hey, man, whatever gets done, do you think you could help it get done? Yeah, well, then go on and scroll down on this barcode, scroll down to the little blue box, and sign this letter to the senator asking them to pass the bill 490. That's what I tell everybody. So, yeah, man, but shucks. We'll see. I'm going to shake that down. I'm going to do that. So in the meantime, Joe ain't with us today. Miss Joe. I got some work with Joe. We're going to draw up a letter of appeal to a certain population of folks that have the ability to get land, to purchase land, right? And we're gonna do that appeal to see if we can get people to consolidate their energies and start getting this land purchase going, man, so we can start doing crops. Because we got a lot of agricultural experts in our fold, right? It's astonishing. And then to let you know that I'm convinced, I did went to Sutter Museum, not Sutter, Crocker. Went to the Crocker Museum Sunday. Went to Crocker Museum Sunday to participate with some information about Black history. And what happened was, where we were in an area where there was a lot of activity, we were just passing out literature and answering questions and stuff like that. And the staff came and asked the coordinator. Her name is that we call her Mama Roz, and she goes by Queen Amina. Came and asked her to come and do a presentation in a small auditorium on another floor. So we went there, and we did a presentation. And we did a presentation about agriculture and agriculture, and specifically about our involvement with agriculture in this country, right? And so our involvement with agriculture in this country is different from anybody else's experience because it was manual, right? So these are people who are bending down and harvesting, bending down planting, bending down weeding and de-weeding, bending down in the sun, that kind of thing, right? That was us. So we're operating from a true agricultural standpoint, that we were the agriculturists in this country, right? So we did that presentation, but while we did that presentation, this woman started sharing some information about how to plant, types of things that you can do, some of the technicalities and some of the things that you should know about the food you eat now and why it's strategic to grow it yourself. Go out into your, when you want a salad, go out into your yard and get your stuff and go make your salad. That's a salad that's fresh right now. But if you go buy a salad from the store, it's wrapped in plastic. It's been shipped. You got to find out where it came from and all that because they put stuff on it to protect it from wilting, right? If it comes from another city, they ship it from Fresno, right? They got to put something on it to protect it from wilting so it looked nice and green in Sacramento as it did when they did it in Fresno. And so it's a whole bunch of stuff that she shared that made me understand that we're in the right vein when we look at agriculture as one of our mainstays as a people in this country. We could become the agricultural kings and queens of this country because of the working knowledge we have and the ability that we have to work with the soil because it's natural to us.
Yeah, so we started it. We did all that so they could eat, you know what I'm saying, and make money. We started that, yeah.
Absolutely.
We fed
so,
them.
You know, it's
we
like...
fed the state master.
Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, we did all that and fed to feed the slave master, you know what I'm saying, and then so they can make money off of it. But we started all that. We got all the resources, man. Yeah, I agree.
And see, what we're saying is the same thing we're saying overall is that don't come with the shell game no more. We know where the pee is. You can't hide the pee on us because we know where it is. We're not going for the shell game anymore. We recognize. And in our recognition, I still say, overall, in our recognition, once we are recognized completely and awarded fairly, we're not going to retaliate. We don't have retribution in our hearts or in our minds. We just want equality so that we can thrive and thrive without interruption or thrive without the game trying to manipulate. Because when we thrive, America thrives. So think about that big picture, y'all. When we thrive, America, because America has thrived on the backs and on the heels and on the efforts of our creations, of our labor, and our imagination. So there's no question about that. We're just letting you know that we know now. And don't be alarmed. We ain't gonna do you like you did us. We ain't built like that. So that's the one message that I want to impart to anybody who's attempting to listen and infiltrate, or anybody who's listening trying to find a way to undermine. They ain't got nothing to undermine. Don't even think like that. We're not sitting around trying to figure out how to conquer you. We're sitting around trying to figure out how to meet our standards and, as a result, help this country become the greatest country that you claim it is already. Because it won't be until you make this right. I'm wondering if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes all the sense in the world, brother. Like I say, we're on the right path, and we got this train rolling. And this train is picking up a lot of people from a lot of stops with a lot of ideas. And, you know, we're going to bring it all to pass. We're about to do some things, man. So we want everybody to stay encouraged. Because only we can encourage each other, because it's going to take all of us together to do it. I digress.
Right on. Right on, absolutely. Yes, sir. So,
I just want to keep on referring back to structures like the Men's Healing Circle. I want to keep referring back to structures like the Men Accountable Project. And the Men Accountable Project was designed initially to respond to the prospect of people coming in duping people in our neighborhoods. Now, I'm going to say neighborhoods because it's been embedded and planted, well embedded in my mind, that we're not operating in communities, because communities have a financial structure and background. And we don't have that. Matter of fact, we have neighborhoods because the neighborhood has a limited circulation of their money and their resources, right? I think Jay King said that they did a study and they found out that the dollar in our neighborhood circulates for about a half hour. Then it's gone. It's gone. It's gone into the coffers of people who are living elsewhere, living a different lifestyle, and don't have any empathy for the impact that they're draining the money from our neighborhoods and our places where we live. Don't have any empathy for it. That's why you can walk in a store. That's why we have the city cleanup to beautify Sacramento. We got to hire young people to go clean up around the businesses that's reaping all the benefits. They won't even pay somebody to clean up because it's not a value to them. They, you know, and I think we help contribute to that as well. If I'm going to walk over some trash to get to a store and still purchase it and still patronize it, well, why not leave it out there? So, We're right now we're catering to other folks who are reaping the benefits and not bearing any expense for cosmetology or improvement. You know, you got some places they don't hardly do nothing to improve the accommodations. They don't hardly do anything to improve the cosmetics of where they're operating because they don't have to. We buy anyway, it seems like, right? So I'm going to tell you something I observed when I first got exposed to other communities coming into or other ethnics coming into the, back then there were sort of communities because you had black owned in black areas, you had black owned business. But I saw how the sort of like the infiltration came with Arab community came in and they opened up a store and there was a two story. The store was on the bottom and the apartment was on the top. And six or seven people living in that apartment, right? Because they were saving all their money to be able to buy wholesale so that they could sell us retail, right, in the neighborhood where they had a plan to like double and redouble and create a McDonald's kind of hookup where it, you know, they duplicate themselves in those areas, and the next thing you know, they're in control of the inner city food source. And then when I tell you what I observed that was so powerful, when I saw how it was having success was when they start building nice ones, right? The ones that I was saw at first, this was back in 1983. The ones that I saw were like just corner, they bought a corner store from somebody and they didn't do no improvements, so it was just kind of dank. You walk in there, the lighting was kind of dim, but you couldn't steal nothing because they had all the little kids standing in a row watching you, right? Because everybody lived upstairs and everybody worked, so everybody was in the store watching, so you wasn't going to steal nothing. So after they got their momentum, I noticed this. All of their stores had two things that were attractive to the people in the neighborhood. One was the lighting. When you go in there, it was lit up like the sun. And then the second thing was they had the cooler right there by the door. And then on the cooler, on the side of the cooler, they had some scantily clad black sister standing there provocatively in some sort of something. And she was cut all up nice, had big assets and everything pasted on there. So they were marketing their store to us, and we got caught up. So that's where we are now in regard to neighborhood versus community. We're working toward community now. We got to now understand this. The only place that represents the prototype for that is 2251 Florin Road. They call it the African Market, but I choose not to use that. It's the Florin Square. Now, the reason why I don't like African Market is because it's sort of like paints a picture of everything is red, black, and green, right? And representing, you know, a country that we're not very familiar with. As a matter of fact, to be candid with you, a lot of Africans that come here don't seem to hold us in high regard. So I don't like that handle, because I don't want, you know, the mixed messaging to cause people to not contribute or participate. But that Florin Square is the only place that I've seen in this city that represents the prototype for community that we're trying to build. What you say, Mark?
Well, I say it's a good idea, and that's what's needed. Like I say, Marvell, we're on the right path, man. We are on the right path, and the people are going to come. They're going to come. And also with us starting to do this, giving these youth tours, that's going to be a big help, too, bringing people in, because the kids will be able to tell their parents about it. So, like I said, we're supposed to build a community. That we're going to do.
Yeah, now that you mentioned it.
I'm driving.
Okay, man. Now that you mentioned it, I'm gonna do a commercial for the I think it's the 9th, right? The 9th of March, the BBOA is sponsoring a tour for you for the Florence Square, the Sojourner Truth Museum, and that fabulous back wall. That back wall, man. That back wall is like a it's like going back in the, like in time or something. You know, it's just kidding. It just have you. It just, if you walk that back wall and you start seeing those murals and those pictures of all the icons and all of the people, accomplished people that are on that wall, man, it just kind of like puts you in a zone, you know? So our young people really, I think, deserve to have that opportunity to have that feeling and experience through the visual, right? And then the Sojourner Truth, although, you know, they don't advise you not to touch stuff, right? But it is, there are visuals and there are tangibles, right? You can see it and you can touch it even though they ask you not to. It's really like an experience that I think will bring our youth a little closer to the idea that we didn't just start. Our history didn't just start with slavery. And that's all. And then, and see, that, cause see, you can neutralize something. It's like the Rodney King thing. You know, you keep on watching the footage, and you can't justify in your mind why they keep doing it, so you still look for a justification. They showed that Rodney King whooping, man, about 500 times until you start saying, "Dang, man, he had to be doing something. Dang, that don't make sense. Why they? Oh, okay, yeah. Maybe when he did that, they might have thought this. Or maybe, oh, he was breathing too hard. Oh, maybe, you know." So the mind, the human mind, I think, attempts to justify nonsense, right? Because it's in your face. So the same thing with slavery is that we keep on hearing about slavery as being our history. Slavery is. Hold on. Something happened here. Wow. Something happened to me. Can you hear me? Something goofy happened.
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, you can hear me? Okay.
I can hear you, Marvell.
All right. All of a sudden, you know, so it's like the slavery thing about our beginning of our history, it becomes mundane. It becomes so routine that we just kind of like, okay, well, we already know about that. You know, already know that, yeah, we were brought here. We already know that, you know, we work for nothing. We already know that. But so it introduces the prospect of something other than that, right, is that we were a people that had a civilized existence far before any slavery, right? And so that's why I think it's important to highlight what the BBOA is doing and what they sponsored a couple of other things. Well, see, that's what I mean. It's like, remember the other day I asked about marketing? And I think it's important to continue to delve into how marketing works. Because I just don't think we are in tune with how marketing, how important it is, and how it works. Because now we find out that they had a presentation for operations, but it wasn't marketed. Then we're finding that people are having events on the same day at the same time. And they get their little cards printed up, little colorful little handouts, little glossy colored little handouts, and they spent money to get this done, but they ain't done no research to determine how it interferes with another event, right? So it's get kind of important to try to time your event to when it doesn't cross sector with another event, right? And there's a whole bunch of events jumping off like today. It's two or three events jumping off today, and the times overlap. So now people have to go to one and then leave that one. If they want to participate in the other, got to leave that one in the middle of the one they went to get their own time for the other one, and so on and so forth. So it's kind of important for us to look at how we can market and contour our events to where people can be available to attend rather than crunching everything in, because now it's getting to that point. So I'm really curious about how we're going to approach that thing, the marketing thing, because we're susceptible to it, and yet we don't practice it that well. And that's my observation. Now, if anybody got any opposition to that, they can say who's doing it, let me know so I can get in touch with them so we can see if we can break bread and get that technique applied in our neighborhoods to make sure that we get our messages well delivered and our events well attended, because it's a mess right – to me, it's a mess right now, you know. The rock the flow on down. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what happened to that? Oh, well, it wasn't marketed. It wasn't well prepared, and it wasn't marketed well at all, right? Good intentions, but no poor preparation. And that's what marketing does. Market is a preparatory kind of structure. It gets everybody ready for something, right? And I think we'll do well to study how to get that done so that we can build our community and start attracting people to bring their business back to a community. Our people, bring your business back to our community and do it comfortably and not have to gouge paying high insurance and have to gouge because you're not buying wholesale because you're a small business and you only have a budget that allows you to buy a certain amount of what you need, and so your budget doesn't allow you to get wholesale price, right? But I think that it's being smart if you're working in a community and you have someone else, don't treat them as a rival, but treat them as someone you can cooperate with, put your money together and buy bulk and then distribute in your individual vending place, right? And everybody distribute, right? Instead of you trying to buy what I call, you got wholesale, you got retail, I think we just buy what I call tail. We just buy stuff that when we get it, we got to jack the price up so high to make any money that it makes people not want to come in to patronize. So we got a lot to learn as we grow as toward the community. We have a lot to learn about how to be collective even in our purchase power, right? Putting our money together and getting the best deal that you can get when you do so. But, yeah, everybody agrees that we're building something. And I agree as well that we're building, we're moving, we're thinking. We're doing our critical thinking. We're not just, well, a lot of some people are still in the mode where they don't want to participate, but they want to benefit from the final result. And I hope that we can work our way out of that by everybody just picking something that they can do to contribute to the movement. It could be small, but think of something you can do so that you'll be in exchange for when something does develop, you'll have an investment and you'll have a place that you can claim that you had something to do with it, because free is a four-letter word that doesn't work for us that well. Anytime somebody say free, we think it's free. And you see how they play it, we're gonna give you, you buy this and we'll give you it for free. You done factored whatever you're giving me into the price that you selling the original item for. You ain't giving me nothing free. Like free shipping, right? Okay, so you done factored the price of shipping into the product. It ain't free. So that's what I think is important for us to get away from sitting around waiting for somebody else to do the work or waiting for somebody else to offer something that they call free in order for you to participate in it. Free ain't free. You got to do something, so it ain't free. If they say it's free, you got to fill out all these, your name, and give them, see, that's what I mean. It's like the game is, they say it's free, but you got to give up all your information and all that, and then the next thing you know, they selling your information to another marketing company, right? And you getting all these emails. Is that free? You getting all these emails from a bunch of bojacks trying to talk you into buying something because they done sold them your information so they can get all up in your email. You got emails from people, thousands. I got like 10,000 emails. And I don't know none of these people because I signed up for something or bought something and put my information in it. Now, these folks contacting me trying to woo me into buying something from them. Is that free? Really? So that's what we are challenged to get a grip on and get knowledge of and work our way from being marketed to and work our way toward marketing our products, services, and goods. That's one of our challenges as well. But we're going to meet it. We're going to meet it because we have experts that can help us. They just haven't had the incentive because they haven't felt the momentum coming from the groundswell. They haven't felt the body coming together wanting to be vital. We just got a whole bunch of limbs going every which way. But now when the body comes together, we'll attract everything that we need because we have professionals in all of those realms. We have professionals. We got a Clarice as a professional in accounting. We got professional educators. We got professional agriculturists. We got professional businessmen. We got folks that help you build business. We got a radio show that has professionals on there telling you how to manage your money or telling you how to increase your money. We got that already. But when we come together as a body, then everybody will start attending to these things and attending workshops, and we'll start really, really becoming autonomous as a group of people and really becoming successful as a group of people. That's what's going to happen. That's the affirmation that you're going to hear from us, that this is going to work. Mark said it. I say it. Tim says it. Double R says it. Joe says it. Who else? Even Larry. Larry didn't show up today. I was born to Larry. Larry poured in the other day. But everybody is in accordance and has the vision that it's going to work. And the reason why is because we have what it takes to make it work. When I say we, I ain't just talking about the people I mentioned. I'm talking about the people that are listening right now. You are part of the we. Find your place to contribute. Find your place to contribute to make this happen and feel comfortable. Find a comfort zone at first, and maybe some of y'all might have the courage to do something that's uncomfortable and do something you really don't want to do, but you know it needs to be done. And that's what we're urging, and that's what we're stirring up, that willingness to do those things. So once again, we want to thank you for your audience. We want to thank you for being open-minded to the type of dialogue and the type of things that we share. And we want to thank you in advance for your participation in the movement to raise our consciousness as a people and to put us where we're supposed to be in this country. Have a good day.